Genesis 2:14. Genesis 2:14. Now, as we let's look at this chart just a little bit. This is modern conversational Hebrew chart. Okay, it really is not. If you look in the front of that book there, where it says the alphabet, it's totally different than this. Okay, I just want to tell you a little bit about this.
What's that? Current?
This is modern conversational Hebrew. Now, if you look in the alphabet that's in the front of the book, that's it, I think. All right. There's Alpha, Beth, Alpha, Aleph. I got the Greek in there. Aleph, and then Beth. Okay. Now look at here. All right? Here's Aleph.
Yeah.
Okay?
Beth.
And then Beth.
And then Beth.
But there's two of them. There's only really one. Okay? One of them is a hard sound, one of them is a soft sound. There's only one Beth.
Doesn't that dot mean there's two?
Well, now that's a doggy 40. Okay? That means it's a double. But that just means, as you're writing it, okay? This means it's hard sound, that's a soft sound, okay? But in all of the biblical Hebrew grammars, okay, it's going to have one Aleph and one Beth. Now, you have Aleph, Beth, and then Gimel, and Dalet, Hey, Wah, okay? See the different things? Now, let's look at your little chart like this, okay? Aleph, say that. Aleph, Beth, Gamel, Daleth, Hey, Wa, or Va, Zion, Heth, Teth, Yod, Kaf. Now, here they have two Kafs also. That's the one that you thought. See the two calls here?
Yeah.
That's what you thought were the same ones as this up here. Remember when I told you before, when I write in the printing that I did there, the Beth has got a strong heel on it. So you can see it real easily instead of the Kaf. Okay? The Kaf and the Beth almost look alike. In some Hebrew texts, you can't even tell them apart. All right? Can't even tell them apart. But I make them to where they look different in your text there. That's why I did. Okay?
Where's the Lamed on that one?
Okay, Lamed.
Is it the last one in the second row?
Yeah. That's it. It's a little different looking.
Weird looking.
Yeah, it's a little weird looking Lamed. Okay? All right, and then we have Mem. Mm-hmm. Now we have Mem. See that guy is? Mem. Okay. Mem now. There's two Mems. You got a Mem that's in the front of a word, and a main that's at the last of it, okay? All right, like this. And then, like this is what mine looks like. What?
There's a verse in Isaiah that uses the final N in the middle of the word. I ran across it once, yes.
Yeah, well, now, yeah, they're liable to do that. But anyway, now I know this may be confusing you a little bit, but I wanted to explain this chart down here to you today. Memnon, Samak, Ayin, Pei, all right, Sadhe. Now look at the Sadhe down there. There's two of them. All right? See these two things here? Two Sadhes. All right? Two of them. You got one in the front of the word and one at the back of the word. And then Kof. Resh, Sin, Shin, and Taus. All right? So there is the Hebrew alphabet. All right? By the way, it's good to have Connie and Darlene here with us today. We've been praying for you all this time to get back safely, come home. And I hope you had a good vacation and everything and all time. All right. It's good to have you. We've been praying for you. Ever class.
Thank you.
Keep you safe.
Bring you home. All right. 2:14 now. Let's look at it. If you want to write this, I'll take time so you can write it above every one of those. Okay. Just get over there to 2:14. All right. Beshem. Beshem.
Now, are you starting on the right side?
It goes backwards. It goes from right to left. Okay. Now, down below, it says, and name is what this says. Vashem. Vashem. This is what it looks like. Okay, just like that. If you want to write that down, and I'll do this slowly if you want to write it. Okay. Vashem ha han nahar. Hanahar is the next word. Okay. I'm reading out of that right there.
Out of this.
Yeah. But it's 2:14.
Oh, I got to get to 2:14. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, 2:14. Don't let it screw you. There you are right there. Vashem.
You're speaking in all right. A couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
All right, no problem.
Okay, right to left. Vashem ha-nahar. That last one, that next word there. Now, you see the second letter in there, from right to left, the second letter has got what you said in the middle. It's got a doggy saline in the middle of it. And that means it's double N. Okay? Ha, han, nahar. Okay? And then ha, shi, li, shi. Ha, shi, li, shi.
Are you in Tigris now?
No, we're on the first letter. I mean, the first line, okay?
What was the last word on it?
Okay. Vishem. Han Nahar Ha Shilishi. Okay. Every time you see a ha in front of a word, what does that mean?
The.
The. All right. The. Ha. This is the. Okay. Then we're going to go back and we're going to take this apart. Okay. And then Chiddekel. Chiddekel. That's Tigris right there. That's Tigris. Okay. Chiddekel. Hu. Ha holech kidmat. That's the last letter on the left hand side. Kidmat. Can you say it? Kidmat. Kidmat. All right. And then Asher. Vihan nahar. Ri. Almost read it backwards. Ha rivi. And then Hugh, just like Hugh. Like you, but like a who with a. All right. Verot. Okay, Verot. Now let's go back and look at this. Vashem. Now, the name of Ham's three sons were what?
Ham, Shem, and
Japheth. This is Shem. This is the name Shem. Shem means what? Name. And name. All right. And name. Han Nahar. The river. Look at that word Ha in the front of that. It's the Ha looks like this. Okay? This is the Ha. That means the. Okay? How do you say the in Hebrew and Greek? Nominative singular masculine. Ha. How do you say it? No. Nominative singular masculine. Ho. Ho. Ha. Just think about that for a minute. Almost the same, aren't they? Ho. Ho Theos. Ho Theos. All right. That's your nominative singular masculine definite article that ends with this. Now, this ends with that in Greek. Greek is a very definite language. Hebrew is a very powerful, picturesque, violent, moving language. Okay, it's tremendously powerful language, Hebrew is. All right. Han Nahar and the river. Ha, look at that word there. See that looking thing there in the front of it again? That's the Shalalishi. All right, the third. All right, third. The third. Chiddekel, Tigris. All right, Tigris, by the way, it's an Assyrian river, and by Tigris means to
determinate. It's like a nightshade on a window. Nightshade to terminate the light. And it also means to conceal. That's what tigris means, to conceal or to terminate. All right? And you can look that up on page 293 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. All right, here is the Hebrew lexicon. It might have fallen apart from use too much. But it's in on the page numbers, in that right there, you can go to this page number, and you can look what it says. All right? And figure out all those things. On page 293, you just go to page 293. You can look it up for yourself, because there it is, right there. All right, there it is on page 293, and tells you all those things. See that where our little tigers up there? What?
Does that give the Bible scripture?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it gives the Bible scriptures, and here it tells you the roots of the Hebrew and what it means. Okay, and then this is the Septuagint. 300 years before Christ. The Hebrew Old Testament was translated into the Greek Septuagint. That Septuagint means 70. All right? And I've got this one here also. And that's why I'm throwing a little Greek at you at the same time.
70
Jesus corrected. Yeah, 70-something rabbis did this. And so I'm giving you the cross-reference to this in some ways, like ho and ha is the, okay? Ho and ha is the. And then, let's see, and the third, and the tigris. He is the tigris. That word ho, or who there is he. The tigris, he, the one walking. All right, now, Hebrew, I told you, it's a powerful, picturesque language of action. Okay, now it tells you about the river that is walking. The river is walking, okay? The Tigris River is walking. All right? It's walking. And that's the masculine singular. That's he's doing it. It tells you the masculine, the river is masculine, okay? And this river, he is walking. And it's cal participle, he is walking. Continuous thing, all right? And then it says kidmat. And that means eastward. That means toward the front. East is where the sun comes up, isn't it? All right? East means front. That's where the sun comes up. Indians, when they used to pray, they'd stand out and hold their hands up when the sun come up and feel the power of God that had created all the universe. And they face east. All right? When they walk in the sweat lodge, they walked in east. All right? Into it, like they're walking in where God lives. All right? And then it's Ashur. Ashur means of Assyria. All right? Eastward of Assyria, and Bihan Nahar, and the river. All right? That's and. Now, this little thing right here, that means and. One letter in Hebrew Hebrew's like shorthand. B-ha, all right, and the. Right there like that. So all of that's in this word. Are you kind of catching this just a little bit? I know you guys have been here only a few times, and it's brand new to you, but I just want to be able to show you how beautiful and great the Bible languages are. Okay? Bihan Nahar and the river. All right. Ha Ravi the fourth. The Ravi the fourth. Ravihi. The fourth, he, he is the river, all right, and Euphrates. Now, what does Euphrates mean? Anybody know what Euphrates means? Euphrates.
Yeah, I know.
What? Yeah, it says sweet water, but what else? Have you ever heard of colloidal minerals?
Colloidal, yeah.
Uh-huh. What is that?
They go into liquid.
Well, it's vitamins and minerals that you take that just refurbishes all your body. And this is the river that it's talking about, the river that the sweet water, the vitamin water,
All right, now they got vitamin water and all that kind of stuff you can buy on the shelf today, don't they? Well, that's what this river, that's what Euphrates means. That's an old term. It's not something brand new. All right.
Isn't that the up there, the full title line underneath there?
Well, it can. I just didn't do that.
It don't matter?
Mm-mm. Well, yeah. It does, but...
We can put that underneath there if you want that.
All right. Now, sometimes this and has this line under it like that, too. Ba or wa instead of we. All right.
It's okay to short...
Well, first of all, in Hebrew, in the original Hebrew Bible, it had no vowel markings. You had to know it to begin with. All right. Where'd my braces go? Let's look at this. We've got to erase some of this. All right. And let's look at a couple of things. Now, some of you, this is repetition, but it's good because maybe you'll learn it. It's all backwards in Hebrew, isn't it? Now, I didn't put any vowel markings up there at all. I can go back and put all the vowel markings up there. What did I write on this board? What did I just write? Jehovah Elohim. Now, we say Jehovah so easily, all right? But we cannot say that word. We don't even know how to say that word. We don't know how, okay? That's as simple as that.
Will you explain that?
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm going to explain it in English as best I can. This is the only way I know to do it, okay? Now, we have no vowel markings here. I didn't write any. They do mark it. They put vowel markings in the text and stuff. But when the Hebrew comes to this, what does he say?
The name, the word.
What is that? Hashem, the name. Or Har Dabar. The name. Or the word. When John 1:14 come out, when John 1:1 come out, when they come to this name, that name right there, they say the Word. Okay? That's who they're talking about, is the Word. Because they don't know how to say that word. Okay? They don't know how to say it. They never said it. They use the word Adonai, which means what? Adonai. Means Lord. All right? That's Lord. All right? Adonai ha'adonim. What does that mean? Adonai ha'adonim. All right? The Lord of lords and King of kings. That's what it is. And, of course, in the book of Revelation calls Jesus the Lord of lords and King of kings. Because it's talking about Jehovah. That's who it's talking about. This undoubtedly, I mean, there is no mistaking who this is. All right? But they wouldn't say that name. So when they come to the name Jehovah, they're going to be they're going to say Hashem, Ha Dabar, or Adonai. If you, I have got a Hebrew rabbi reading the Old Testament. Every time when he comes to the name Jehovah, which we say that name so easy, but man, I mean, it's not there. We don't know how to say it. The word, okay?
What's the first letter of Jehovah? Is it Goat or something?
Yod. Yod.
Yod.
You can't say it. First of all, after they received the law of Moses, after Israel received the law of Moses, in the Old Testament, when you read it in Hebrew, it'll say Jehovah all the time. Even Pharaoh called upon the name of the Jehovah. He asked him, forgive him. He said, I've insulted Jehovah, and I have insulted your God, Jehovah, and all this kind of stuff. He used the name Jehovah. But once the God of heaven set down the laws of God, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's his name. All right, you shall not use his name in vain. And they never spoke his name again. Never spoke the name Jehovah again. And they referred to him as the Word. Okay? That's it. Period. The Word of the name. Okay? That's who he is. All All right? Now, when you go into the New Testament, we know who it is. It says over and over again, John's writing, the Gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, calls Jesus who? The Word. That's who this is. That's who Jehovah is right there. All right? Now, Jehovah Elohim. All right? Jehovah. Now, we say Jehovah. Okay? We can all say that. Now, we're going to take all the vowels out of it. So we just have four consonants. Now you say that. If you have no idea what was between them before, how are you going to say this? It's impossible to say it. They did not use that name at all. Period. They referred to him as Adonai, Hashem, or Ha-Dabar, and it meant the word, the unspeakable name of God. That's what it meant. Okay? And if you look in your text there, I write down Jehovah, but you can just put a parenthesis in there because we don't know how to say it. All right? I use it so you know what I'm talking about. If you said this, Brother Hubbard used to say this, if you tried to say this name, it would be Yahoh. Yahoh. Just Yahoh. And what it is, it starts with a yeh, all right, yod, and then it just breathes out. All right, it just breathes out. Now, the modern Hebrew takes the wow and make it a vowel, like a V, okay, instead of a wah, all right? But if it was a wah, which all biblical, you pick up a biblical Hebrew grammar, and it's not going to have any of that in it at all. That's modern Hebrew. This is biblical Hebrew, okay? I pronounce it like they do. So you can learn, you know, if you listen to some Hebrew song or something or whatever, or modern conversational Hebrew, you might as well, if you're going to learn a little Hebrew, you might as well throw it in too. I just want you to know there is a difference. All right. Yahoh. That's why Brother Hubbard said it would be Yahoh. That's it. You say Yahoh. And what are you doing? You're breathing out air, aren't you? Breathing out air. And that's exactly, it's life. What did Jehovah breathe into man? Life. Okay? And it means life. Now, Jehovah comes from a Hebrew verb. And that means to become. And we'll see that all over the place. What Jehovah means is he who shall become. Okay? He who shall become. Now, Genesis 3:15 tells you what? Like we studied a little bit this morning, that Jehovah shall become. We will have a Messiah. And Genesis 4:1, Eve thought she had the Messiah already. Brother Ray.
Okay, you got those four letters
there. Yeah, four consonants.
Okay. How did somebody come up with the vowels to put in there and say Jehovah?
That's guesswork. Just guesswork. When the King James Bible was printed, they put down Jehovah. Okay? And Yehovah. It would be Yehovah. Yehovah. Okay? If you pronounced it like they put the vowels up there, but really, we don't know what they are. I don't even point the thing, you know, on my own. Down here in the book, it's pointed. All right? It's pointed. In the very next verse over there, we're going to see Jehovah Elohim, right? Vatz, Zav, Yahweh, or Jehovah, Elohim, okay? And then here in 2:15, we have it again. Vayikach, see that one right there? 2:15 now, right? Vayikach, all right? And then we have the name, what? The name, the word. Just put down, say, the word, okay? That's the word. That's the word we don't have to say. Okay? And then Elohim. We know who Elohim is. Elohim's God. Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Now, we just were introduced to this person of the Godhead after man is created. All right? Because then man and the world is going to need a Savior. All right? So he is the covenant God. This is the covenant God, the covenant-making God. Jehovah is the covenant-making God. All right? The Word is the covenant-making God. And the Word signed the covenant Himself in His own blood. Okay? In the New Testament. Thy Yikah, the name, Hashem, Hadavar, all right, are the name, are the Word. Elohim, Elohim, El Hayim is what it is here. And the Creator God, plural, all right. It's not singular, it's not dual, but it is plural, all right.
El Hayim.
Well, basically.
And that's how it is.
Yeah. It means the triune God, and I don't know how to tell you that. There aren't three gods. I want you to understand that there aren't three of them. How many of you are there? Huh? You're triune, but there's only one of you. Okay? The only God you're ever going to see is the Son. That's it. Period. You're not going to see any other God but Jehovah. That's all the God you're ever going to see. God made man, and we already looked in the book of Genesis there, and it says He made him in a shadow-casting image. When God created man, the whole universe, He was walking around in the image of Jesus. All right? That's what He looked like. All right? And it says that He made man in His shadow-casting image and His blood-flowing likeness. And then in His eternal spiritual being. Now, there aren't three of you, but you are body. We see each other by our bodies. We know who we are because we have form. Okay? The form of God is Jehovah. All right? And then we have spirit. That's what keeps your body alive. And then you have soul. And what is that? That's where your memory. That's where your whole being is. All right? Now, there aren't three of you. But there are three separate parts of you. But that three separate parts only makes one person, doesn't it? So there aren't three gods. There's a lot of people preaching three gods. And that's wrong. That's wrong. When I was in the Middle East over there, I think I was down in Egypt or someplace, Arabia. Someplace out there wandering around in the desert. I remember I was in the desert anyway. There's a lot of desert over there too. And this Arab come up to me, and he was off to the side. I was out there. I was sick. And he was talking to me. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, you believe in four gods. I said, what? He said, you believe in four gods. I believe in one. I said, no, I don't believe in four gods. Well, he said, yes, you do. He said, you believe in the Father, you believe in the Son, you believe in the Holy Spirit, you believe in Mary, the Mother of God. And I said, no, I don't believe in Mary, the Mother of the God, as part of the Godhead at all. I said, I'm not a Catholic, all right? And I said, I don't believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are three separate gods. They are one God. So we have one God. That's all, just one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three.
No.
What did I do wrong?
No.
Lord our God is one, not three, but one. The only God you're ever going to see is what walked the earth. And what walked the earth with Adam. That's all. That's it. The Holy Spirit today. Bill or somebody was asking this morning in the class. They said, when Jesus said to His church, He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, I cannot be with the church every place. All right. Physical expression of God is on the throne. But His Spirit is omnipresent with every church in every place. All over the world. Okay. His Spirit. All right. Going a little bit further. We got that out of the way just a little bit. B-Yah, B-Vi-Yek-Chok, and then the name, the word, Elohim. And this is the easy one now, because you're going to run into this one all the time. Okay. That's a little easy one. We'll even point that one for Brother Mike. That's what? I ate it already. I ate my lunch already. Et. Et is a sign of the direct object. Sign of direct object. Page 84 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then ace is the Greek equivalent of it right there. And that one is page 119.
Aleph and what's the second letter?
Tau. Aleph and Tau. All right. Et. Et. That means action is going that way. That's what it means. Action. That's a pointing sign that said, here comes the action.
That's what ace means. Ace, the grammatical idea of it is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's ace in Greek. Okay? In Hebrew, it's more complicated than that. Okay? It means that here comes the action. All right? And took. All right, took. Third person masculine singular. God is masculine. Third person masculine singular. He's one God. All right, he's one God. And took Jehovah. All right. Elohim, sign of direct object. All right. Ha-Adam. 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 Who said that? The man. All right. Let's look this up a little bit more. All right. All right. Ha-Adam. Ha. Ha-Adam. I did not point anything. Okay? I just put it up here. Well, I did point to the. The mankind. All right? The mankind. This man, Adam, was a representative, and in us, in him was all of us at that time. When God breathed into him, we already saw that he breathed in him the breathings of lives. The breathings of life. Your life was in him when God created him, okay? And then it says, and took the word Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, the man, Ha-Dom, Ha-Adam. Now, in the middle of this word is Dom. Man, that Dom means what? What does it literally mean? Red. And it also means what? What? Blood. Blood is what color? Red. Okay. It means red. It means blood. And the earth, Ha-Adama, all right? All right, here we got this on the end of it, Adama. We got Ma on the end of it there. That's a mam, and that's a mam over here too. Okay, Ha-Adama. Now, in the middle of Adam, in the middle of blood, and the word red, red, blood, and man, and earth have all the same root. The same root. Dom. All right? The earth, Ha-Adama, man, Adam, and blood, Dom, have all the same root. Okay? Now, if you go out and pick up some good dirt, you'll find out all the chemicals in that dirt that are in man and that are in blood. All the same. Good earth. Go to old red earth, you know. All right? That's what it's talking about. There's going to be a lot of iron in it and all that, just like there is in blood. Okay? And it says, and took Jehovah. By the way, and he kept on taking Jehovah Elohim, the man. And then it says, by Yan Ni Chihu, and let him down, and laid him down, Begon. Begon. All right? Begon means in the garden. The word garden is gone. All right? Gone. He let him down or placed him down, third person masculine singular, hifel, well, consecutive and perfect. I know that's a whole lot of saying, but that's what it says in Hebrew. Hebrew is very direct. It tells you everything about it. He placed him down in the garden. All right? And then we have the word Eden. Eden. Eden comes right out of the Hebrew, Eden. Eden means delight. It means paradise. It means the place of pleasure. All right? That's what Eden was. Who planted Eden? Who created it? This one right here. Jehovah did. Jehovah went down there and he prepared this garden. himself for Adam. All right? In Delight. All right? Remember I told you last week, Delight, Arkansas. They got a town in Delight, Arkansas. That's where Glenn Campbell and his family, and that's where my stepdad, he's deceased now. That's where he was from, Delight, Arkansas. He was neighbors with the Campbells. All right? And then we have the word Li-a-vidah. Li-a-vidah. Can you say that? Li-a-vidah. Okay. Eden. To serve, to protect, to guard her. That's why he put him in Eden. To serve, to protect, to till, to work, to protect. And Matthew 28:18-20. This is what we call the Great Commission. All right? And in that Great Commission, there's a little word terrain in there. All right? It says, after the church has been kicked out, it says in King James, go ye therefore, but that's not what it says in Greek. It says, after you've been scattered, make disciples. Make disciples. Make habitual learners. Make students. Make disciples, and then it says, dipping them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, it says, in the name, singular, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they're one God. Three, we know them as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there is one God. There aren't three of them, because it says, onomah, in the singular name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Grammatically, that's incorrect, but the grammar, the Apostle John just overrules the grammar in the Greek and says, in the name, not in the names of, but in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, baptizing them and teaching them all things I have commanded unto you. And teaching them there also means teaching them to guard with their lives what I have commanded you and handed down to you. All right? To guard with your life. That's the same word here. Okay? It means to guard, to till, to work, okay? To serve, to protect. And then we have the word again, even put more directly, Yulishamerah. Yulishamerah. Can you say that? Yulishamerah. All right? And to guard her in Greek. Now, it's using Adam as masculine, all right? It's him. And he shall guard her, and the suffix is feminine. He shall guard her, the garden. Okay? He shall guard the garden. It's a Cal infinitive construct, and then third person feminine singular suffix. He shall guard her. Adam was to guard God's paradise from Satan and his partners. Okay? Now, already out here in eternity, we're learning a little Hebrew, but we're learning a whole lot of Bible. That's the most important thing here. I mean, the Hebrew is okay. You're learning the Hebrew so you can understand the Bible. But way back yonder, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, way back then, what did God create back in eternity past? And we don't even know how far back it was. What did He create back there? He created angels and spirits. Now, angels have form. Spirits take form. They inhabit human or animal flesh. Spirits do. Okay? They can do that. Okay? And back in that period of time, we find out that according to Luke and according to Revelation and Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, evidently, at least one third of the angelic forces rebelled against God. Now, He had created these angels, and then He created a material universe. All right? And this is what we call the pre-Adamic universe. This is before Adam was put on it. Okay? And back then, there was a rebellion. There was a great war in heaven. And the devil was cast out. Now, as far as we know, the Bible talks about archangels. What is an archangel? Malek is the word angel. All right. What is an archangel? Archangel, that's right out of Greek.
Leader.
Huh? That's a head angel. That's a big shot. That's a captain. That is a master angel. That is the epitome, a master general, or whatever you call it, a general over a lot of angels. Now the Hebrews think there's seven groups of them. But most Christians, theologians, think there's three groups of them. Just think about that now, three groups. What is that? Like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like spirit, mind, and body, okay, of man. God does things in threes for some reason, okay? And there's basically three groups of angels. One over the material realm, one over the spiritual realm, and then one over the mental realm or the knowledge. Okay? We have those three. Now, who was over the physical material realm?
Lucifer.
Who was over and is over the spiritual realm? Michael. Who is over the informational realm? Communication.
Gabriel.
All right. These three angels. All right. Those three. Now, Lucifer blew it. Lucifer means light carrier. He was the light of the world, the light of the cosmos, and he became darkness. Okay? And then God placed man in his place on this earth. As far as that goes, I believe man was going to be and is going to be the ruler of the whole universe under God. Because he was supposed to be guarding the garden, paradise. All right? That was heaven, so to speak. Paradise and heaven, basically the same thing, okay? So to speak. All right? This was God's heaven, paradise on earth. Now, he'd have been in that paradise on earth forever. Last week, we talked about the tree of life. And that candlestick over here in the tabernacle is a representative of the tree of life because Jesus is... And what's it made out of, by the way? He's the light of the world. The light came into the world, but the world received him not. Everything in that tabernacle represents Jesus. All right? That represented that candlestick. It was the branches of a tree, which represents the tree of life. Okay? And on those seven branches, seven is the number of what in the Bible? Perfection. All right? That's deity, in other words. And what is it made out of? Pure gold, which stands for what in the Bible? Deity. So Jesus is deity. Okay? He is deity. Everything in the whole Old Testament tells us that. Now, all of these different things, even what the brazen altar was, it was made out of wood, but it had brass on it. Brass means judgment. Wood is flesh. God became flesh, and he had judgment upon him. And then the laver, all right? Jesus said, I am the water of life. He was the water. When Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, when he struck the rock and God told him to speak to it, God actually gave him a death penalty for doing that. Why? Because he struck Christ. Right, he's the water of life. Then again, the altar of incense. And then the Ark of the Covenant there. The Ark of the Covenant is a box made out of wood and covered with what? Gold. So Jesus was man, but he was God. God-man. Okay? That walked on the earth so he could be related to us and redeem us for himself. He had to be related to us, the kinsman redeemer. The whole book of Ruth tells us about the kinsman redeemer in the Bible. Got to be related to redeem. Okay? That's what the story is about. Now, the top of that, the mercy seat where God met with man, now that's pure gold. There's two angels represented there as being witnesses. All right? But with two or three witnesses, let everything be established, the law of Moses says. So, how many angels do we have there witnessing? Two. As far as we know, when you're born again, when you ask the Lord into your heart and you're saved, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, there are two angels there that are going to witness that. And that's how you're going to get into heaven, by those two witnesses which stood for those cherubims, or two witnesses there over the mercy seat, which Jesus is our mercy seat. All right? And when you die in this world, immediately two angels come after your spirit and soul and escort you into Paradiso. Perez, or Eden. Okay. You go into this paradise. All right? At one time, it was down under the earth. Before Jesus came to the cross of Calvary and died and went down there and then rose. All right? Sometimes this may be a little redundant, but this is extremely important. There's the earth. Down under the earth, out here someplace, was where Sheol was. Sheol. Let's just put down Sheol there. And Hades. All right? Hades and Sheol. That's what it was. And paradise was there, Abraham's bosom. And the place of torments, hell, was over here. All right? When Jesus went down here, he went down into the paradise side of hell. Not into the hell side, but in the paradise side of Sheol. He went down in there and he preached to them that he had overcome. He had done exactly what he was supposed to do. I have redeemed you now. I have redeemed you. I died on the cross of Calvary. And then when he rose from the grave, Anastasia, he stood again. He took all of these with him from there. And hell, it says, enlarged itself. And then he takes all of these temporary prisoners that were from here all the way here. He takes them to the third heaven, which is above here. Out here, someplace in the third heaven, below is Sheol, and up here, the third heaven, is paradise now, or whatever. I don't get this mistaken now, because now we studied the book of Revelation a little bit. Here's the church age we live in. At the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture where all the saved people on the earth are taken up to be with God, and then God pours out tribulation upon the earth. Mainly the reason for that is to bring Israel back to God, because on this earth, for 1,000 years, Israel is going to be reigning and ruling on the earth in physical bodies for 1,000 years. Okay? And at the end of that, the earth will be completely renewed and destroyed and refurbished, not destroyed, but cleansed and refurbished. And then it'll be a new heaven and a new earth for eternity after that. But for 1,000 years, Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38, we see Israel dispersed here, and then we see Israel regathered toward the end of the church age. We know that Israel exists now today. I mean, there are people in Christendom that thought Israel was completely set aside forever. And they replied, and they applied all the promises of Israel to the church. And that's what we call replacement theology. But that's not sound theology. Okay? Because God still has a place for Israel. The whole reason for the 7-year tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God so that he can serve him on the earth. Of course, where is the Lord going to be all this time? In New Jerusalem, above the earth, like the sun shining down on the earth with his bride. But there's going to be real people in real bodies on the earth for 1,000 years. All right, 2:16 now. We're covering a lot of... Yes. Oh, this flip on.
Thank you. You know, that thing makes more noise clicking now, but if I'm talking, I don't hear it at all.
2 and verse 16. Vayzav. Vayzav? That little bitty short word there means Vayzav. Okay? And then we have the word here again, word, Hashem Hadabar. That's the name of God right there. The name, Hashem, whatever you want to say, Adonai, the Lord. Okay? By the way, the equivalent of Adonai in Greek is what? What? Kyrios. All right, let's get it over here. All right. If you want... We're learning a little Greek and Hebrew both, all right? All right, that is Lord, okay, in the New Testament. Even all of the Lord's disciples called him what? Kyrios, which means Lord. Now, if you see that in King James, what does Lord mean in the Old Testament? Jehovah. That's that, Jehovah. In the New Testament, if you translated it into Greek, and the word in the Old Testament is Kyrios, which means Lord. All right. The Hebrews call him Adonai, or Hashem, or Hadabar, or the Word. Okay, that's who he is. All right? All right. 2:16. Thy Tzav, and then the name Word, Elohim. Can you say Elohim? Elohim. That's easy. That's that word up here. All right, Elohim. And then Al. Al. That's like this. That's all. All. Ha-Adam. All right. Limor. Mikol. Etz. Hag-Gan. Akol. Tashel. That's kind of a short verse, but there's a whole lot in it.
Are you on the bottom line
yet? I just finished the bottom line. Tikol. The last one. I started up the top. Thy Tzav. And the name. Elohim. El Ha'adam. Lemor. Mikol. Etz. Hag. Gan. Akol. Takel. Okay? And commanded. See that word and there right in the front of it? That little old funny looking thing right here? See, I told you sometimes it had a different vowel underneath it. And commanded, charged, strongly. This is the PL stem, all right? It's third person manual singular PL. Well, consecutive and perfect. That's a lot. And he kept on charging. He kept on telling, all right? He kept on telling him. He kept on charging him. Commanding Jehovah God, Jehovah Elohim, upon the man. El means upon him. That's who he's talking to. All right? Upon the man. He makes charges upon the man. Ha-Adam. Saying, Lemor. Cal infinitive construct. From every. Mikol. From every. Mikol. Me is from. Okay? From every. Call. Remember, all. What is. Now we saw the word call. Like that. Call is all. Okay? Call is all. From all, etz, tree, etz, say etz. Etz, that means tree. From all tree, hag-gan. Hag-gan. All right? All trees of the garden. All right? The garden. Hag-gan. A coal, eating. This absolute infinitive. All right? Eating. This eat. Eat. From all the trees of the garden, eat. You shall eat. You shall keep on eating. From all the trees of the garden, you shall eat, and you shall keep on eating. Second person, masculine, singular. Cal imperfect. You shall keep on eating from all the trees. And then we talk about the tree of death. That's the next verse, the tree of death. You want to put there? Start that next week. All right? You want to quit right there? Next week is the tree of death. The tree of death. Yumetz ha-da'at tov vara lo takol mem menu ki biyom ha-chalaka mem menu mot tamot. That's what it says in Hebrew. And from the tree of knowing good and evil, not you shall eat, not you shall keep on eating from her, because in the day of your eating from her, dying, you shall begin the process of dying. And we're going to look at that real good next week. The tree of death. Do you have any questions? Are you learning anything? I know it's a whole lot when you're learning languages and the Bible and everything all together. But I'm going to tell you something. There's dynamite in these verses. It's good.
What are you talking about? Huh? Singular, like, as one, they're all as one. That means, when you talk about those, you say that singular meaning that God and Christ and Holy Spirit are one.
Or one. Yes. The name Elohim is plural because it's talking about the triune God. Like we are triune. We are triune, but we're not three of us. We're only one of us. Okay? There's only one of us. And there's only one God, but He's triune. We can see Him in Christ, we can feel Him in the Spirit, and we can know Him in the Father. Now, that's three different ways, but it's only one God. There aren't three gods. And you are one person. At death, you get divided.
And the Hebrew language tells you...
It tells you all about the same thing. And even in Greek, the gender and the numbers and everything are there, just like in Hebrew. There's singular, duel, and plural in Greek. Singular, duel, and plural in Hebrew. All right, it's all there. I mean, if your theology rhymes with the Word of God, your theology is just going to go right along with that. If not, you're going to have some real problems because it's going to shake you up. All right, because it's different. All right, anything else?
Yeah, I'd like to ask why there isn't going to be a C after when we go to heaven.
A what?
C.
Well, what is the sea for today? What's the ocean for today?
It says for cleaning the earth.
For cleaning the earth. The earth is going to be clean. So we won't need to be, the earth won't need to be cleaned after that. All right. I'm sure there's going to be water, but there's not going to be an ocean to have to purify the earth. All right. That's mayim. That's plural. That's waters. Mayim. The waters. Yim. Plural. Yim. All right, Mayim. Waters.
We won't have streams.
You'll have streams. Oh, yeah. We'll still drink and we'll still eat. Oh, we're going to be like in the garden again. We're not going to be eating animals over there. Animals, and this part next week, we'll get into the animals a little bit when man named the animals, gave all names to the animals and everything like that. But the animals were not to eat. Many rabbinical scholars and people that, well, they read the book of Enoch and all of that in the Old Testament, and they talked about in Genesis the 6th chapter, and we're going to get into Genesis 6th chapter. They say, and the book of Enoch specifically tells this, one of the reasons why God destroyed mankind from the face of the earth was the Nephilim. Now, these were what we may call the hybrids. They were contractions of man and angels, okay, hybrids. These hybrids were eating animals and humans. If you read the book of Enoch, it tells you that they were eating up everything on the earth because they were big. And they were gobbling down other men and all the animals and drinking their blood. And God caused the flood to come upon the earth. All right. Now that's what the rabbis say. You ask a Hebrew and he'll tell you the same thing. All right. A lot in Christendom, they kind of shy away from the book of Enoch and everything else, but I think there's a lot of things we can learn in there. I don't know whether all of it's inspired or not. I know some of it is. I don't know about the angels marrying with mankind, women. It basically says that in Hebrew. I mean, you just can't hardly get away from that. It says that, but many people don't believe that. But I'm just throwing that out there for you to understand. Many of the rabbis say the reason for the flood was because these hybrid, which we know as Nephilim, and we know that there was Nephilim on the earth over here.
Like Goliath.
Goliath was a Nephilim. And he had sons or brothers. We don't know whether they're sons or brothers. The same word in Hebrew. Okay, sons or brothers. There were five of them all together. Five big guys. And they were out there. They were Nephilim. And Nephilim means what?
Fallen
ones. Fallen ones. Fallen angels. You heard of fallen angels? All right. And fallen mankind, too. And God told them to go into this land. Have you ever thought how coarse that was for God to say, go in there and kill them all, man, woman, and child, and even kill their animals? Did their pets, all their animals, kill them all? First of all, they were diseased, and maybe they were hybrids. Okay? Get rid of them. All right? Anything else? No? I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal. All right. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?